from Johannesburg to Jerusalem. The world is always changing, growing and innovating. Join Benji Shulman for the next hour as he brings you the trendsetters, the thought leaders and those creating news before it happens. Only on the New Blue Review, your favorite Jewish culture and current affairs show. Every Monday at 9 a.m. right here on 101.9 High FM.
You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Shulman. This is the New Blue Review. Welcome to it on this Monday morning, which is also Rosh Chodesh Adar.
Oh, yeah.
It is time for Purim. I hope everyone has got a costume and is getting ready. But we're going to be unmasking some very interesting stuff on the show today, so you should stay tuned for all of that. We are going to be looking at a range of issues later on, looking at what is going on at UCT at the moment. We're going to be dealing with our innovation sector as well, going to look at interesting and new innovations in the world. But before we get to all of that later on in the program, on Friday it was International Women's Day, and I thought that we should bring in somebody who can chat to the issues that are affecting women in our community, and just a role model in terms of where young women are at the moment. And so I'm very excited to have in studio today Yerin Weltzman. She is a founder and works in community building amongst the women of our community. And she joins us on the show today. Yerin, thank you so much for joining us on the New Blue Review.
Thanks for having me, Benji.
Yeah, that's fantastic to have you on. So, Yerin, let's just start off a little bit about what it is that you do in your professional capacity, because you're very much involved in the startup nation and helping to get it out there on the world stage. So start with that a little bit on your professional capacity.
Cool. So firstly, I live in Tel Aviv, and Tel Aviv really is the not just startup nation. I think now we're really moving more into the impact nation. And a few years ago, I finished my undergrad and then my postgrad in design, innovation, and entrepreneurship. And I realized that there was, you know, kind of this gap in founders and the Israeli startup culture and the startup culture in general in the world. Technology startup founders are continuously raising capital from venture capital, and a lot of them have amazing ideas, but they don't have the tools to be able to communicate their ideas and the innovation and their vision to investors. And if you're not able to do that, you're not able to get your product out onto the market. So really, I started this company that is a fusion of a strategic consulting company and also a design company. And basically what we do is that we help founders, number one, raise capital, and we create all of the collateral that they need in order to do that. And really how I see it is I'm kind of like a doula, but for ideas. So, you know, helping these founders birth their ideas into the world, helping them package them, and really making sure that what they are on the inside is what they look like on the outside. Like, you can't have a company that has technology of the future, but they look like they were created in 1996. Like, that's just not a thing.
And you often find this actually with founders, I think particularly in Israel, where they're working in Hebrew for a start, and often the ideas are very technical. It's like algorithm heavy, all sorts of things. And if someone explains it to you, it's a great idea. But if you're going to go to Silicon Valley and raise a lot of money, you need someone who can speak English to really get it across in a slick way.
For sure. And I think that English is not the main issue. I think that just their ability, I mean, especially I work with a lot of biotechnology companies, and being able to, you know, take a breath diagnostics machine learning algorithm and make it like sexy and cool, that's not so easy. And I definitely don't think that like technical male founders can really do that. So we really come in and we help them with investor presentations, with branding, with websites, with marketing collateral. And, you know, once you're able to really take what is an investor deck, it is taking all the information, so much data, and being able to put it in a very short, to the point, 12 deck presentation. And once you're able to do that, once you're able to take all that you are and put it in a seed, then you can go and just, it becomes an algorithm. Then you can go and spit that message out to investors. You can spit it out to your clients, to your stakeholders, to anyone else, partners. So really we help them from, from when they start off all the way to product launch.
Now, you brought in the gender element there, and startup, I wouldn't say it's a completely inequitable space. It's not, I don't know, like the building construction industry or something like that. But what is your experience of like female participation and getting your foot in the door and being able to show these sort of maybe quite esoteric people the value of what it is that you're bringing to the table?
Right. Well, you're asking in terms of women in tech and their standing.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, everything starts in childhood. Mm-hmm. If girls, young girls, are not studying STEM subjects, sciences, technology, they're not going to go into those, if we're talking about Israel, they're not going to go into those units in the army. And then they're not going to go and then do their undergrads and their postgrads in these technical fields. Mm-hmm. So firstly, it all starts in the young generation. And that's something that there are many initiatives, especially in Israel, that are working on it. But, you know, for example, young girls in the periphery where there isn't access to that level of education, they're obviously going to be put on the side. So number one, it definitely starts very young. Number two, there are many different women in tech, females, like different organizations that try push women. But at the end of the day, I really feel that all of these things sometimes can even create more disparity, and they can create just showing that there is a difference, and really, well, we don't have to do special things so that women can go forward and progress. Like, we just need to believe in ourselves and go forward and progress.
Right.
So,
but how much of it is also, I often wonder about this in terms of like a cultural fit, because it's not something that I experience as a male. Like, if I'm a female and I'm going into a maybe very old, aggressive looking boardroom that's full of old men, is that, do you feel that as someone who works on trying to get the message across, is that something that is a challenge, or is it just like, is that in people's heads?
I think that firstly, it depends on what position you're in. For example, I know for myself, and I can only speak from my own experience, when I walk in, I'm walking into a boardroom with, you know, a 5 all-male executive team. And if not an all-male executive team, most of the people there are males. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's never been like, it's just a state of mind. If I go in confident, I know my worth, I know what I'm, the value that I'm bringing. And at the end of the day, they're paying me good cash to be able to do something that they cannot do. And that is my power. And that's, you know, the value that I bring. So I think that it is a matter of your mindset and your confidence and how you walk into that room and how you hold the space. And yeah, I don't think that it is such a problem.
So let's talk about that then on the other side of your life, because I feel like building that confidence and that understanding and knowing your worth is maybe where you like to spend another big part of your time, and you do it in a very special way. So talk to us about how you build young women in communities, not just here in Israel, but around the world.
So for the past few years, I've launched a platform. It's called Women Transcend. And really, it came out of just a realization, you know, growing up in the diaspora, growing up in South Africa, I was never exposed to the true crux and essence of Judaism in like a cool way, in a spiritual way, in a way that was empowering, in a way that was feminine, that was just like felt relevant to my life. And I think that many young women feel that way, in not just in the diaspora, in Israel as well. And I realized that, wait, we have so much incredible ancestral wisdom in our tradition. Yes, the way that it's been communicated and the way that it's been taught in the past few years is just not hitting it on the head. But that wisdom and that magic is there. And I thought, okay, well, how am I able to really take all of that and translate it into a way that is accessible to women, that helps them connect to themselves, connect to their Jewish identities, connect to the land of Israel, and to really help them just step into their power. And I think that the most of the work that I'm doing is not just to, you know, ensure Jewish survival and Jewish continuity. These are big buzzwords today in the, like, you know, trying to maintain Jewish life in the diaspora, but really thinking about, okay, how are women better connecting and to their Jewish identity in an authentic way, in a cool way, and in order to, yeah, create better female leadership in the future. And these, and when I say female leadership, it's not just about on the collective level of like having female leaders in leadership positions. Like a female leader is also the leader of her own life and also the leader of her home. And once a woman is able to find that power that is uniquely hers, the magic that every single one of us have, not just women, also men. But once you're able to give women like the tools and the access and the wisdom to access that within themselves, then that's how I feel you change the generation. And that's kind of a bit of the work that I've been doing with Women Transcend. And we do that, you know, through a lot of content online.
You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. I'm chatting to Yerin Weltzman today. She is an activist and a founder, and we're going to be hearing more about her work, but you're going to have to stay listening, which you should do, because I'm Benji Shulman, and this is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM, chatting today to Yerin Weltzman. She is a founder and an activist, and we're talking about International Women's Day and what it means to create women in our community. Now, Yerin, I wanted to ask you about the educational system, particularly, I think, in the diaspora, because you kind of have a bit of a knowledge of what it's like in Israel and what it's like in the diaspora. And there definitely is, I mean, Israelis are a different kind of culture in general from the diaspora. But what would you say is kind of missing from our educational institutions, given the gap that you're filling, that we need to think about at a more systemic level in order to make sure that we are creating powerful women for our community?
So first of all, I think that we have to take a step back and really look at where the Jewish people are right now in history. Up until now, Jewish communities in the diaspora have been experiencing their Judaism as like purely a religion, where we had a suitcase of traditions and of rituals, and that's what we needed to do in order to ensure Jewish continuity. But now, since the creation of the State of Israel, we have a whole new equation in reality. And what does that mean? It means that our relationship to our Judaism is no longer one of just a religion. There is now a land, there is now an ancestry, there is now a language, and our Jewish identity has become a lot more robust. And I think that up until now, the Jewish education system, especially in the diaspora, and I can only say because that's what I've experienced, has only been able to touch upon almost a very shallow, ritualistic, religious part of the Jewish experience. And I think that now we're living in a generation, especially, that is so thirsty, you know, thirsty for God, thirsty for spirituality, thirsty for meaning. And there is so much meaning in Judaism, we just haven't been able to teach it in a way that was accessible, that was experiential, that was, you know, and dare I say, like, feminine, because it is more somatic, it's more embodied, it's more connected to the heart. People, you know, if you don't understand, if you're learning Hebrew at a young Jewish day school and you don't actually understand what you're doing, you can't force a child to sit through 45 minutes of davening in the morning when all they want to, and meanwhile their brain is like a TikTok brain that is just like dying for pumps of dopamine. That is torture. But if you put a child for 30, 40 minutes in a experience where they feel connected, where they feel that like, oh, I can actually, I don't necessarily need to read from the Siddur. Again, as a observant Jew, yes, I read from the Siddur, that's my thing. And I also don't read from the Siddur and have my own prayer practice. But if you're able to first give someone a relationship with the divine, first give them a relationship with God, yeah, then you'll be able to do everything else. But I think that part of what's missing right now is the spiritual experiential part of it, that I think that the school system, yeah, maybe they don't. Yeah.
If you have any questions for Yerin, you can SMS us 34519 and we can answer anything that you may have in regards to this. Yerin, let's talk about the tachlis of what you do. So we've spoken a little bit on the theoretical and kind of some of the concepts that you're working with. But when it comes down to like you have a child or a group of children, what kind of stuff do you do with them to help them with this connection?
Great. So firstly, I would say that the woman that I kind of target is probably between the ages of 18 to 70. And how does that work? Number one, I create a lot of content online These are videos and they teach about Judaism, again, in a cool way, in a feminine way, bringing a lot of wisdom around the new moon, a lot of wisdom around, you know, the female body, menstruation. And all of that is, I also feel, a hidden part of our tradition that has been lost and has been kind of shunned away. So that's a big part of the on the education end. And also, of course, talking about the land of Israel and the importance of the connection to Eretz Israel and the, and where we are at and how every single person can play their part in this movie, in the story that is the Jewish people. And now, more than ever, we're living in the wildest time, I think, in our history, with technology, with everything that's going on the global scale. So number one, it's content. Number two, it's experiences. I hold women's circles and women's experiences. It's called Transcend Dance. So the brand is called Woman Transcend, and this workshop is called Transcend Dance. And it's about a 1.5 hour experience where we really dive deep into the body through movement, through breath. It is something that makes some women a little bit uncomfortable because they've never actually moved their way that wasn't choreographed. And it wasn't, you know, if you're in a yoga class, the teacher's telling you, okay, you do this, you do this. But when you just put a woman in a place where it's like, no, you just listen to your heart, you just listen to your body, where does it want to move? What secrets does it want to tell you? You know, on a scientific level, our bodies hold so much trauma and memories in our fascia, in our cells, and that is a lot of the times suppressed. So when you create space, I've had workshops where women at the end of the workshops are crying hysterically, a lot of memories are coming up, a lot of trauma, different things, and that is a very powerful tool to access the deeper parts of your consciousness, number one. And on top of that, it creates female community. Women are coming together. Usually I hold these circles on Rosh Chodesh, on the new moon today. And what that really allows us to do is that we know that in Judaism, every single month has its own flavor, has its own energy, right? And it's easy to read that in a book and understand that on the level of mind, but can you understand that on the level of heart? And how do you really take that wisdom and integrate it into a deeper part of you? So that's what these workshops actually allow you to do. And besides for these experiences, there are many more experiences coming up this year. One of them being, we're doing a global young Jewish women's leadership mission to Israel, where 20 young women from all over the world are going to come together and really not just see post 7th of October Israel, but really just connect to each other and work on a new vision that they want to bring back into their communities. And you know, when you have a pool of women, each one is coming from Buenos Aires, from Sydney, from London, from Joburg, there's going to be a melting pot, and the wisdom, the collective wisdom of all the women understanding the problems of their communities and how we can solve that through female leadership in the future.
Now, you mentioned October 7th. On Friday, you were at a protest with the Jewish Board of Deputies, a range of other women. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what it was like to be part of that event activity?
Well, that experience was definitely one of the more powerful experiences that I have experienced as being part of the South African Jewish community. You know, I left over 11 years ago, and I haven't felt that connected and the strength and the power of the women. We marched up to Constitution Hill all the way to the Statue of Hope, and all women were there, from young women in, from I think grade 11, from the different schools, all the way to old women activists. I met an incredible woman, Riva, who's been an activist for the past, I don't know, 40, 50 years, and just, it was just a melting pot of all different women. I think that women are angry. They feel that, number one, I'm not even talking about the South African government, but that the world has neglected us. I was, you know, speaking to a lot of women and interviewing a lot of women, and their main thing is just like, why are we alone? Why is no one speaking up? And I think that being there was not just powerful because we're doing something on the outside. Like, yeah, maybe it made a little noise. Maybe something on a local level happened. But I think that if it did and if it didn't, that's not the point. I think just that sheer experience of all those dozens of women that were there together, and I think that was an amazing, amazing show up. But just that experience of being together, of chanting, of shouting, of one woman came up to me and she was like, it feels so good to shout. I am so sick of saying Tehillim in the dark, alone in my room. Like, it feels so good. And that's what I think. Yes, there's times that we can protest a silent prayer to God that's, you know, it's internal, it's calm, it's soft. But then there's times, and I think that that is, again, part of the feminine, there's times that you need to scream. There's times that you need to just let go. And I think that even just as an experience for the women, just to be together, just to scream together, just to be angry together, that was healing. Like, that was powerful. And yeah, I was really grateful to be a part of it. There were amazing speeches, there was unity, and yeah, I really hope that more Jewish communities all over the world can do something like that, because it was real power.
What has it been like for you personally in Israel since October 7th? It's obviously affected the whole country in different ways, but what has been your personal experience?
Why? So on October 7th, Friday night, it was Simchat Torah. We were dancing in the middle of the street in Tel Aviv with Torahs, all men, women, dancing. I go to bed, I wake up, two sirens. And the first siren I thought was a joke. Not a joke, I was just like, oh, it must be some sort of mistake. Maybe I'm a little hungover, I'm not really sure. But by the second siren, I understood that something was really wrong. And I observed Shabbat and I switched on my phone because I wanted to tell my parents, like, I'm okay. And basically when I switched on my phone, I first understood what was going on. And secondly, I heard that my cousin, my first cousin, Yuval, she's my age, and she was at the Nova Festival, and she was actually shot at 6:30 a.m. On October 7th. So that entire morning, we had no idea what was going on with her. She was hiding under a tank for about 6 hours until that they were evacuated. And the following weeks were just, not just a national trauma, but a very personal trauma on, you know, it's like my sister who was shot. I mean, I was bathing her, I was with her, and what was even wilder was all of those subsequent weeks I was hanging out with all of her friends that were at the Nova Festival, and every story, one on top of the other, was just more traumatizing than the next. But thank God, I think that right now, them specifically, everyone has been healing, you know, on a physical level, but emotionally there's a lot of trauma which they're dealing with, and you know, not everyone has the tools to really do that. And personally, I had to leave. I live in Tel Aviv. I had to leave Tel Aviv to go to my family because there was no bomb shelter in my building. So that was also a little bit, you know, everything had just changed. And I think that one of the most difficult parts of this war is that every single person had a first degree connection to either a soldier, either someone who was kidnapped, either someone who was at the festival. Like, every single person had a first degree direct connection. And I think that even until now, people in Israel, yes, we're joyous, you know, Purim's coming up, there will be more celebrations, like, life is carrying on, people are getting married, there was the recent municipal elections, you know, life is continuing. But at the end of the day, you feel this very deep sorrow. And I think that that's going to take a long time to shake off.
Sure. Very, very powerful stuff. Yirin, if people are interested in the work that you're doing, how do they connect with you? How do they see your content? How does that work?
Cool. So you are invited to go on Instagram or TikTok. The handle is @woman_transcend. And there you'll be able to just keep updated with all of the new content, all the experiences, YouTube too.
And see what are the experiences that are out there. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Adar is the month of the queen, and we appreciate that you're raising the next generation of them. So thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
And continue the good work that you're doing out there for the Jewish community.
Amen. Thank you for having me, and Rosh Chodesh Tov to everyone listening.
You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Shulman, and this is The New Blue Review.